Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. We have a partly cloudy sky now and 68 degrees. In the Republican primary race for the Sedgwick County Commission, District 3 seat, Stephanie Wise was the winner with 49% of the vote over Greg Ferris and Alan Reichert. Wise says she will focus on property tax issues.
And we're pricing people out of their homes through property taxes. We have people on fixed incomes that are fearful that they're going to not be able to afford to stay in their homes. So we owe it to them to fight for them and to look for solutions that actually work.
Wise will face Celeste Reset, the winner with 76% of the vote on the Democrat ticket, over Alma Ann Jones. Incumbent David Dennis announced earlier that he will retire at the end of his term. Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris calls her running mate the vice president America deserves.
Vice president and Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris touting Minnesota Governor Tim Walz's background as a veteran of the Army National Guard, a former congressman, teacher, and a football coach, telling a Philadelphia crowd he'll be ready on day one.
Tim Walz and I, we agree about many things, including when our middle class is strong, America is strong.
Stressing their campaign will focus on bringing prices down, defending voting and reproductive rights, and preventing gun violence.
Over those next 91 days and every day in the White House, I'll have Vice President Harris's back every single day.
Calling it a fight for the future and freedom. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
The man who died following an officer-involved shooting in a Wichita McDonald's parking lot last week shot himself before the officer opened fire. That's the finding from the Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office investigation. The shooting occurred July 31st near Central and Hillside. Police stopped a suspicious vehicle with three people inside. 29-year-old Brennan Russell was ordered out of the car, but he refused. Sheriff Jeff Easter says the suspect struggled with the officer, and a taser was deployed before Russell pulled out a firearm, pointing it at the officer.
As soon as the suspect drew his weapon, he transitioned from taser to firearm. Shot goes off, and he fired a round.
Sheriff Easter says Russell died from a self-inflicted shot to the head just before officers opened fire. An autopsy on Russell is being performed. When complete, the investigation will be presented to the Sedgwick County District Attorney for review. A Wichita man charged in a fatal road rage shooting has pleaded guilty.
20-year-old Darian Boone pled guilty to second-degree murder and attempted first-degree murder in the September 2023 death of 69-year-old Norma Williams. The woman and her husband were at Kellogg and Greenwich when they encountered a group of motorcycle riders. Police say Boone ran into the couple's truck, and they were then chased down when they tried to flee, with Boone firing a handgun twice into the back of their vehicle. Williams, who was in the passenger seat, was struck. Her husband, who was driving, was not injured. She later died from her injuries. Boone is due back in court on October 24th for sentencing. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Hamas selects a new political leader as its patron Iran prepares to respond to the killing of Hamas's former political leader in Tehran last Tuesday. Fox's Alex Hogan reports from Tel Aviv.
It's been 1 week since the assassinations of Hamas's former political leader and a Hezbollah commander, deaths sending the region to the verge of a wider war. Hezbollah's leader Hassan Nasrallah calling on all Arab states to take a stance.
Our response, God willing, will be strong, influential, and effective. Between us and Israel are only a few days and nights till we meet in the battlefield.
Israel braces for a likely Iranian attack. Hezbollah says part of the punishment is the waiting.
Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant says his country's forces are preparing for an Iranian attack and have been in talks with the Biden administration. KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. Stephen, 10 in the morning, KNSS, 6:09 on a Wednesday morning, 68 degrees. Voters went to the polls Tuesday for the primary election here in Kansas, and Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News Election Commissioner Laura Rainwater has done a good job in creating more polling places.
There are 107 total sites to choose from. That's 25 more polling sites than we had when I first took office. And that's a credit to Laura Rainwater's leadership and the support of the county commission.
Commissioner Beatty commented during his weekly appearance with Stephen Head in the Morning on KNSS. The NTSB is investigating the cause of a small plane crash that killed four people at an Oklahoma City airport Tuesday.
The identities of those who died, their relationships with each other, and the cause of the crash are still unknown. This is not the first incident to take place at this airport. Fox 25 previously reported on several crashes, one without injuries last year. In 2022, two were injured in a crash. And in 2019, two people were killed in another incident. According to the Sundance website, the airport is a privately owned public use facility.
Officials say the plane will also be moved to a secure facility for further evaluation. Tom Ferguson, Fox 25 News.
Wisconsin prosecutors charged four people with murder in the death of a black man in Milwaukee.
Prosecutors say the four men, Todd Erickson, Devin Johnson Carson, Brandon Turner, and Herbert Williamson, worked at the Hyatt Regency Hotel where Devontae Mitchell died June 30th. Security cameras showed Mitchell being chased into a restroom but dragged out by the men charged. Outside the hotel, Mitchell was repeatedly beaten and kicked until he no longer moved. A medical examiner ruled the death asphyxia by restraint, along with drug use. Another employee said Mitchell pleaded for help while he was held down. The hotel manager said the employees had been fired after the incident. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
A man accused of threatening a traditional American sporting event is in custody.
Andrew Buchanan is accused of warning of a mass casualty event for last year's Army-Navy football game in December at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Police were able to track the call, and the game was played without incident in front of 65,000 fans. Buchanan, a former Rhode Island resident, is also accused of threatening to shoot up Bryant University's campus in Smithfield a few days after the football game. He was arrested in late July in Tucson, Arizona. Authorities say Buchanan was homeless. He'll be extradited back to Rhode Island to face charges in federal court in Providence. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:11, 11 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Taking a look at the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras right now in Wichita, things looking pretty good. But we do have some areas of fairly heavy traffic right now, northbound on Meridian between 47th Street South and MacArthur. That's just a patch of heavy traffic there. So watch out for that. Otherwise, things looking pretty good. Traffic conditions looking good this morning as well. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
And now a look at the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
One more hot day before temperatures start to come back down. Partly cloudy skies, mostly sunny at times, though, as we go through the day ahead. Heating all the way back up to a high of 97 degrees with a northeast breeze switching out of the southeast at 10 to 20 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Now partly cloudy, we have an east wind at 12 miles per hour. 68 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Good morning, Ted Woodward. Hey, today is Wednesday, August 7th. We had another hot, sunny day across south-central Kansas Tuesday. Wichita's high temperature was 95 degrees. Normal high, 92.
No, we weren't that much over that.
No, yeah. Not too bad. On this date in 1936, the big heat wave started. The high in Wichita reached 102, and that was the first of 20 consecutive days of high temperatures that reached 100 degrees or more. And, of course, this is the longest stretch of 100-degree-plus heat in the Wichita climate history, and that was in 1936. We talk about this, yeah, about every other day. We have something from 1936 and the terrible weather and heat.
Yep, that summer just got hotter and got worse and worse.
And it started in, and the streak started in August.
Wow. And no one had air conditioning.
Nope.
By the way, it's really nice outside right now.
Yeah.
It is really nice.
I got 68 degrees.
Oh, it's just,
when's the last time we had fantastic. This time of the morning when we had something in the 60s? It's been months.
Yeah. I know it's dark.
Why don't we go
out? Nobody's awake yet, but it's. Wish it could stay like this all day.
Jad, get a couple of really long mic cords, and Ted and I will go outside and do the show from out there.
I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Wouldn't that be fun? Okay.
Set up a KNSS porch out there.
Yeah. Yes. A little patio.
There you go, a patio. Yeah. It was on this date in 1974, French high wire artist Philippe Petit performed an unapproved tightrope walk between the two towers of the World Trade Center in New York, over 1,300 feet above the ground. The event would be chronicled in the Academy Award-winning documentary film Man on Wire.
If you haven't seen that, do it. It's fascinating.
I can't. They had him on CBS.
Yeah, he was on Sunday morning. Yeah.
And I just looked at it and I started getting dizzy. I don't like heights.
That documentary is so good.
Apparently he did it like eight times.
He only didn't do it once. He did it like eight times before they nabbed him.
I told Shelley he must have had a miniature parachute in his underpants or something.
That guy.
Because how could you do that? Of course,
pretty amazing.
You'd have to do it without any wind at all or any sort of, gosh. All right, well, that was in 1974. I just think that guy's kind of nutty. Federal appeals court has upheld Maryland's decade-old ban on military-style firearms, commonly referred to as assault weapons. A majority of the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals judges rejected gun rights groups' arguments that Maryland's 2013 law is unconstitutional under the Second Amendment. Maryland passed a sweeping gun control measure after a 20-year-old gunman killed 20 children and 6 adults at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut in 2012. It bans dozens of firearms. It's pretty comprehensive. I mean, in all-inclusive, including the AR-15 and the AK-47 and the Barrett 50 caliber sniper rifle, plus a 10-round limit on gun magazines. And at least one appeals court says, nope, nothing wrong with that law. It doesn't violate anybody's rights. Interesting. Federal judge has dismissed most of the claims in a lawsuit filed by a black high school student who was punished by a Texas school district for refusing to change his hairstyle. Daryl George alleged racial and gender discrimination. The ruling Tuesday was another victory in the case for the Barbers Hill School District near Houston. But in his order, the U.S. District Judge Jeffrey Brown questioned whether the school district's rule over hair length causes more harm than good. George wears his hair in tied and twisted locks on top of his head. School district says the length of his hair violates its dress code. Well, if he ties it up where it's, well, I'm not involved in this, but there was a time when I was a youngster, I don't know about you, Ted, but if you get that hair down close to your collar, you were sent home. That's for boys. You couldn't have those beetle haircuts. And after a while, they relaxed that a little bit. I have never had a problem with the administration or authorities questioning my hairdo.
No, it's not been a problem for you.
Not done a bit.
Nor I either. I don't think I've ever.
you've taken good care of it.
I don't think I've ever had that problem.
6:17, now Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Hey, why not a look at leadoff sports this morning with Ted Woodward? Ted?
Sure. Hey, I'll start out with minor league baseball. The Wichita Wind Surge beginning a road series this week down in Corpus Christi, taking on the bottom team in the Texas League, the Hooks. Wichita wins it 5-4 in 10 innings. 2,600 fans at Whataburger Field last night. Wichita shortstop Tanner Schobel hit 2 home runs on the night for the Twins prospect. Nicely done. As Corpus Christi went 3-for-23 at the plate with runners in scoring position. Wichita pitchers were on the edge all night, but they kept getting the outs when they needed to. All right, Wichita wins it. Hey, the Surge has won 3 of its last 4. Wichita at Corpus Christi again tonight. Major League Baseball, the Kansas City Royals in a very key series at Kauffman Stadium hosting the Boston Red Sox as these two are battling for a playoff spot in the American League. And once again, the Royals could not get enough pitching and fall short 6-5. Back-to-back losses for the Royals. The bottom four guys in the Royals' order, 6, 7, 8, 9 hitters, combined to go 0-for-15. So they weren't getting any production out of the bottom half of the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah,
21,000 at the game last night in Kansas City. Red Sox win it 6-5. So now the margin is just as thin as you can get. The Royals now only have a half-game lead over the Boston Red Sox for a playoff spot in the American League. So whoever wins tonight's game will get that spot, and the loser will be on the outside looking in. Red Sox Royals, 7:05 tonight to finish up this 3-game series. You can listen live on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Mother Major League action of the San Diego Padres win in Pittsburgh 6-0 last night. Beat the Pirates. Coming off the bench for the Padres, former Wichita Wingnuts player David Peralta had a pinch hit single and scored a run. The Padres have won 3 in a row. Might not know it, but the Padres have a 2.5-game lead for a wild card spot right now in the National League. And former Wingnuts star David Peralta helping out the Padres. All right, let's check in, see how things are going at the Summer Olympics in Paris.
Team USA continued its medal haul at the Paris Olympics with an historic moment on the track. American Cole Hocker pulled out an upset in the 1,500-meter race, setting an Olympic record of 3 minutes, 27.65 seconds. He beat his personal best time by more than 3 seconds. Hocker was joined on the podium by teammate Yared Nuguse, which marked the first time the U.S. had put two men on the 1,500-meter podium since the Stockholm Games in 1912. The U.S. men's basketball team dominated Brazil 122-87 to advance to the Olympic semifinals. The team improved to 4-0 in Paris and heads to the semis to face Serbia Thursday. With 11 points Tuesday, Kevin Durant passed Lisa Leslie as the U.S. Olympic basketball career scoring leader, men's or women's. Leslie had 488 points in her 4 Olympic appearances, all of which ended with gold medals. I'm Jared Max.
And we look over at football. The Kansas City Chiefs have lost one of their legends. Former Chiefs safety Jim Kearney died yesterday at the age of 81. He started at safety for the Chiefs when they won Super Bowl IV back in the day. A guy that was a quarterback in college at Prairie View A&M, played a couple of years for the Detroit Lions, and then he had a long stint with the Chiefs from 1967 through 1975. 1972, tied an NFL record. 4 interceptions returned for a touchdown in the season, including 2 in one game.
Wow.
He was doing the pick six before we knew what a pick six was. 23 career interceptions for Jim Kearney. And, yeah.
He invented the pick six.
Yeah, exactly. A guy that, and then when he was done with his football career, he ended up coming back to Kansas City and taught science for many years at Kansas City Washington High School.
How about that?
Yeah, interesting guy.
Great.
Hank Stram called him the most underrated safety in the AFL. Oh. How about that? Guy that could do the pick six. Yeah, and in today's world, he'd be a superstar.
You bet.
There you go. And the Chiefs lost one of their key Super Bowl guys from Super Bowl IV. Safety Jim Kearney passed away yesterday at the age of 81. We have a good Chiefs birthday coming up. We'll talk about that in the next hour, including a highlight. And there's a Wichita connection, too.
All right, good
stuff. So make sure you're here for that in my sports 1 hour from now. Hey, how would you like to go see the Wichita Wind Surge in style at Riverfront Stadium? It's a great prize package from Homeland Construction Services. It's valued at $175. Here's what you get. Your own table for 4 on the concourse. All the free food upstairs that you can eat. Free parking in the Maple Street lot right by the door. So you get free parking, all the free food and drink you can eat.
And it's a pretty good buffet, too.
It's pretty tasty.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff up there. And it's all free. And you get your table for 4 on the concourse. All free, courtesy of Homeland Construction Services. That's for select weeknight games for the Wind Surge throughout the rest of the season. How do you get entered to win? Well, here's what you do. You go to our webpage, knssradio.com, and you click on Contest.
Then you click on the Wind Surge Loge Box contest link. You fill out the entry form and hit submit. Super simple, very easy, and maybe you could win that great prize package to go see the Wind Surge, courtesy of Homeland Construction Services. And that's sports with Steve and Ted.
6:22 now. Keep it here for Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Good food is good for your brain.
Aha.
That's what I thought.
Well,
that's on the way.
Where's my sausage biscuit?
There you go. That's on the way with Steve and Ted. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 6:30 on this Wednesday morning, 68 degrees. One person is dead following a report of a drowning in East Wichita Tuesday afternoon in the 300 block of North 127th Street East. Officials confirmed that one person has died, but additional information was not immediately available.
Former Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt has won the Republican nomination for an open congressional seat. Schmidt's victory yesterday in the 2nd District in eastern Kansas advances his bid for a political comeback. He had this to say at his watch party.
We are over the first hurdle. We have 91 days to go. We know what the challenges are, everything from securing our southern border to dealing with the cost of living, to dealing with a nanny state mentality in Washington, a big government knows best sort of approach. But we know at the end of the day, our ideas are right.
Schmidt prevailed over former federal regional health administrator Jeff Kars and rancher Sean Tiffany. On the Democrat side, former U.S. Representative Nancy Boyda won the nomination. Incumbent Republican Representative Jake LaTourneur is not seeking re-election.
Republicans are attacking Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz's record as Minnesota governor. Fox's Marianne Rafferty profiles the governor.
Governor Tim Walz's progressive record is well known in his state of Minnesota. Now the American people are getting a first glimpse. Everything from his support of union organizing and raising minimum wage to the more controversial eliminating nearly all abortion restrictions and supporting gender-affirming care for kids. Now, after Walz's slow response to riots in his state after the death of George Floyd, Republicans from Minnesota who know Walz's policies best say if they were going from middle of the road to try and pick up independents and swing voters, this isn't it. Walz also set up a state hotline back in 2020 to report residents who violated COVID mandates.
During his introduction Tuesday, Governor Walz condemned the Trump Vance ticket as creepy and weird as hell, said the two would take America backwards.
At today's meeting, the Sedgwick County Commission is going to talk, at yesterday's meeting, the Sedgwick County Commission talked about, I don't know what day it is. Yeah. The Sedgwick County Commission today is going to talk about renewable energy policy. Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News they're going to be taking a look at solar energy.
You can see solar farms across the country upwards of 2,000, 3,000 acres. It's nothing we've had in Sedgwick County before. So the county commission has been entertaining this option. How do we diversify our energy utility here? And what does that look like here in Sedgwick County? Do we have size limitations? Do we have limitations and restrictions about proximity to our 20 cities? These are all conversations that have been happening over the last year.
And Commissioner Beatty commented during his weekly appearance with Steve and Ted in the Morning on KNSS.
An assassination attempt on behalf of a foreign adversary is thwarted.
His name is Ashif Mashat, a 46-year-old Pakistani national, now charged in a foiled plot to kill a U.S. politician or government official. Officials say Mashat contacted a confidential source 4 months ago when he arrived in the U.S. They met in New York, and he tried to hire hitmen. But those hitmen turned out to be undercover law enforcement officers. The complaint says he gave them $5,000 each for the plan and was set to fly out of the country when he was arrested on July 12th. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland would not say who the target is.
Justice Department has brought multiple cases against individuals working on behalf of the Iranian government to lethally target Americans in the United States.
In New York, Eric Shawn, Fox News.
6:34 now, Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. Let's take a look at the forecast with meteorologist Ronnie Williams.
One more hot day before temperatures start to come back down. Partly cloudy skies, mostly sunny at times, though, as we go through the day ahead. Heating all the way back up to a high of 97 degrees with a northeast breeze switching out of the southeast at 10 to 20 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnie Williams.
Now, partly cloudy, a pleasant 68 degrees, an east wind at 12 miles per hour, Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Hatman Jack's still has a great selection of hats to finish out the summer. Hot weather will be with us for a while, and the right hat can keep you cool. Hatman Jack's will make sure you're protected from the sun's rays. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 601 West Douglas at the Clock Tower in Delano. Steve and Ted in the Morning here on the 7th day of August. It was on this date in 1964. Congress passed the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, giving President Lyndon B. Johnson broad powers in dealing with reported North Vietnamese attacks on U.S. forces. So a lot of questions about that. The Gulf of Tonkin resolution and what triggered it. I confess that I don't know a lot about it. However, my son is studying it extensively. He's working on his doctorate and about Lyndon Johnson and the Gulf of Tonkin. So Scott knows a lot about it.
There's a lot going on there.
I don't know much about it. So, today is supposedly the most dangerous day of the year to drive. A dash cam company called NextBase crunched the numbers and found August 7th is the deadliest day on American roadways. It didn't explain why a random Wednesday in August is so dangerous, but it's based on data from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. They also did a poll that found 62% of drivers feel like the roads are more dangerous than they were 5 years ago. I'll go along with that. On my way home yesterday, I had two near incidents with two people who were texting while they were driving.
Wonderful.
What they did is they took all the numbers and just boiled it down to one day, probably fatalities or something. I don't know. And this is it. Just statistically, it came out that way.
Seems weird.
No reason for it, but it's just a statistical thing.
Well, you better pay attention to Jad's traffic reports this morning.
Yes, sir. He'd keep you on the
extra
ball.
Extra meaningful, yeah.
While we're on the subject of traffic, nine people died, including several young children and one person seriously injured when an overloaded SUV, I'd say it was overloaded, went out of control on a rural South Florida road. It hit a guardrail, flipped upside down in a canal.
Oh, my gosh.
The 2023 Ford Explorer was carrying four adults and six children traveling near Belle Glade when it came to a part of the two-lane roadway that briefly jogs west before again heading north or south. Driver Pamela Wiggins, who would have turned 57 Tuesday, failed to negotiate the turn, went off the road. Patricia Wiggins, Pamela Wiggins' daughter, set up an online fundraiser to help with funeral expenses. Gosh.
That's sad.
Nine people. 6:38 now, Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. And on this, as Ted said, very pleasant morning. Let's take a look at the KNSS Commodities Update with Tom Loeffler of Loeffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. Tuesday, the live cattle and the feeder cattle futures started the session trading positive, but closed mostly negative. The live cattle held an inside trading session, but the feeders made new lows for the month and also bounced off their lows. Some of the pressure was blamed on margin call position liquidation yesterday. Lean hogs had two-sided trading, but closed positive, and the October live cattle lean hog spread narrowed on Tuesday to $102.65 in favor of the cattle. October live cattle yesterday were a nickel higher at the close, 179.05, while October feeders were down 20 cents at 239.02, and October lean hogs up 67 cents at 76.40. Now, what little upside the corn and soybean complex turned in to negative trading yesterday, and the closes were also negative. The wheat market did manage to close positive. Wheat got some support from Egypt tendering for 3.8 million metric tons of wheat. Now, next Monday is the monthly USDA grain reports. At the moment, September Kansas City wheat's 4.25 cents higher, 565.75. December corn down 3 pennies at 402.25. November beans down 10 cents at 1016.75. September crude oil trading $1.45 higher, 74.65. December gold up $6 at 2,437.60. September S&P 61 points higher, 5,327. September dollar index up 21 cents at $102.96. And September Dow Jones futures holding 330 points higher, 39,471. For commodity trading, ag marketing, or managed trading programs, contact Loeffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
Tom, cross your fingers. It looks like, at least in our forecast here for Wichita, we might have at least like a 20% chance for rain.
Oh, wow.
Tonight or tomorrow or the next day.
What do you think about that? It's an 80% chance it's not going
to. Yeah, that's a way to look at it, Ted. Way to go.
But we've also got cooler temperatures.
Yeah, coming. It's pretty nice out there this morning.
Yes. Now, it's going to get hot today, it sounds like. But after today, we're going to see our highs a lot lower, which will be very nice.
Yeah. Well, in the, you know, as in the mood of the Olympics and so forth, maybe you should put on your jogging shorts and go out and do a couple laps around the old Holds homestead there. What do you think?
I'll give it some thought.
Well, that's probably all you're going to give it.
Oh, we got a nice sunrise going on right now.
Sunrise?
Oh, my. Beautiful.
Yeah. Tom, you got a great big picture window you can see out, right?
Yeah, I can see to the south.
Sun don't rise in the south.
That's right, because I was going to say, I can't see the sunrise.
Well, have
bitch put but, you up, know, sometimes, if it's pretty enough, I can see that red glow.
Yeah. Mm. Just put up a big mirror out there, outside your window. That'll
work. Hey, I never thought about that.
Yeah, there you go. Technology. All right. Thank you, Tom. And we'll check with you again tomorrow morning. Tom Loeffler of Loeffler Commodities. 641 now, Steve and Ted. Coming up, Don Grant, CFP, the money tracker, determining the right time to retire.
Ah.
He just keeps pushing, doesn't he?
I know.
Yeah. That's coming up, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Ten in the morning, KNSS, 6:47 now, and three big things. Investigators say man killed an officer-involved shooting in East Wichita committed suicide.
Two.
Democrat presidential candidate Harris calls her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the vice president America deserves.
One.
Kansas primary sets the matchups for the November election. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
The traffic volumes now starting to pick up in the Wichita area. Seeing some heavier traffic out there on those Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras. However, not really seeing traffic getting too slow anywhere at this time. Do continue to watch out for a ramp closure. It's the ramp from westbound K96 to Rock Road. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny and hot today with a high of 97 degrees. 20% chance for rain tonight. The overnight low 71. Thursday, partly sunny and cooler. Tomorrow's high, 91 degrees. Now partly cloudy. East wind at 12 miles per hour. 68 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. An Ohio fugitive accused of shooting someone in the face was found working for the cops in Mexico.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. An Ohio fugitive that appeared on America's Most Wanted was tracked down in Mexico, where, believe it or not, he was working on the other side of the law. 62-year-old Antonio El Diablo Riano was arrested in Mexico last week, charged with first-degree murder. He fled Ohio after allegedly shooting 25-year-old Benjamin Becerra on December 19, 2004, outside a bar 30 miles north of Cincinnati. Witnesses say the two men got into an argument inside the bar before it moved outside, where security cameras allegedly caught Riano shooting the other man in the face. A detective says he tracked down Riano to New Jersey, where he had a sister, before hearing he fled to Oaxaca, Mexico. Authorities started actively looking for him in January of this year and quickly found his Facebook page and his new job with the local police department. When he was back in American custody, a local reporter asked him why he became an officer, and he replied that he wanted to help the people of Mexico. There's more on this story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
A rebound on Wall Street Tuesday, but not for Boeing stock.
Stocks recouping some of Monday's sell-off, with the major averages closing higher but retreating from session highs. All 11 of the S&P 500 sectors ending higher, with tech leading the charge. Shares of NVIDIA, this year's standout stock, rose 4% after declining 6% on Monday. Investors are concerned about possible delays to NVIDIA's launch of next-generation AI chips. And shares of Dow member Caterpillar spiking 3% after the construction equipment company's quarterly earnings beat expectations. The Dow winner, Caterpillar, Goldman Sachs, and Microsoft. The Dow decliners, Apple, Boeing, and Johnson & Johnson. The Dow rising 294 points, the Nasdaq up 167, S&P 500 up 54. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Determining the right time to retire. Don Grant, CFP, the money tracker here to tell us about that today.
No hints whatsoever. Good morning, Steve.
Yeah. Are you trying to give me a little subtext there?
No, not at all. I want you to stay here as long as you can. No, we love you. We want to keep you on the air as long as we can. But, you know, during that COVID pandemic, you remember that thing, many seasoned workers were either forced to retire or they took advantage of the opportunity to retire a bit early. The unprecedented flood of retirements was aptly dubbed the Great Retirement. Now, just because you have your financial ducks in a row doesn't mean it's the right time to exit from the workforce. Above and beyond your own assets to draw upon for income, you'll need to factor pension income and Social Security. Roll up your sleeves and work with your CFP pro to determine when's the right time to trigger those sources of income. They will help you balance the benefit with your projected longevity. It's also time to do a little risk management. That means covering yourself and your family when your work and income ends. If there's a medical emergency, are you adequately covered? If you need in-home facility care or facility care, are you prepared to care for your dependents if something happens to you? Will those who depend upon you have adequate income if you are incapacitated or gone? So we're talking about life insurance, disability insurance, and of course, long-term care insurance. If you have income and finances under control, how will you handle being away from that workplace? Many workers' social and emotional lives are tied to their work. What are you doing to replace that time that you spent at work? Equally important, how can you remain relevant? That's operative word right there. How do you remain relevant enough to satisfy a need that you may have for that? For many, work is both mentally and physically challenging. That may seem like a grind sometimes, but consider your life without those challenges. Will you keep your mind and your body occupied enough to compensate for what you'll no longer have from work? Keep retirement in perspective. You've worked hard for two-thirds of your life. You've been a productive person. It's time to give yourself permission to live for yourself. Go ahead and be a bit selfish for once. Finally. And, of course, if you have any questions, you can give me a call over at Sabre Wealth. The number's 267-0600.
Today is, by the way, did you vote yesterday? Did the primary, everything come out the way you wanted?
I encourage people who were, who could get out and vote to get out and vote. I, as I mentioned yesterday, I'm registered as independent, so there was no primary for the independents to vote.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Today, thank you for your service.
Today is.
What about you? Did you vote? You're asking everyone else.
I did not.
Why did you not? Well, you just disgruntled?
I was, preoccupied with some family things that had to be done.
Oh, it's more important than your vote, the most important freedom that you have in America?
I don't care about it.
Okay.
I'll vote in the big one coming up. I'm like about 90% of us out there, just so.
Okay. Just
90% of the public, man. They don't care.
Another one of the sheep.
I really thought about going yesterday, but I couldn't get away.
Well, did the results turn out the way you'd hoped them to?
No, because I didn't have much feeling one way or another.
Okay.
I have no good friends.
I was going to say, you can't complain if you didn't vote.
Well, he's not complaining.
I'm not complaining.
No, he's not. You're right.
To be fair to Steve, though, when I voted, there were 31 races that I had a vote in. 29 of them, there was one person running, unopposed.
Really?
Yeah. There was one race where there were four people running, so I had a decision to make.
All the judges, yeah.
And the other two, no one was running in the race. So the voter apathy actually kind of extends towards the candidates as well.
Did you write in Steve McIntosh for all this?
He doesn't live in my district. I couldn't write it out.
I printed out a ballot about 3 or 4 weeks ago, just looked at it and said, I don't even.
Yeah,
I'll try.
Why are they spending money?
I'll try to do an action in this one race, but anyway.
Anyway, okay.
I'm not sure this is right. We do it the right way, but there you go.
Yeah.
Today is Purple Heart Day, commemorating the creation of the oldest American military decoration for military merit. It's the oldest. It honors men and women who are the military order of the Purple Heart. During the American Revolutionary War, the badge for military merit decorated 6 known soldiers. General George Washington created the Badge of Merit in 1782. Now, the Purple Heart, it doesn't say anything about the fact that, my understanding is Purple Heart is,
if you're injured,
is given to people who are injured in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're celebrating Purple Heart, the original medal, 1782.
Wow.
George Washington.
That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steve, it's 10 in the morning now, 6:55 coming up, 7 o'clock. Top of the hour news this morning. Primary sets the races for the November election. And investigators say police-involved shooting was actually a suicide. Those stories on the way. Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS.
Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra IS. Saber Wealth is not affiliated with Kestra IS or Kestra AS.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.